Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through to 34. So, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is the one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God," and from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Okay, thank you. Right, I'll hand over to Graham now for the message. Thank you, Graham.
Okay, thanks, Rob. We had our reading for today earlier on, series on Mark, and we're looking at the greatest and the first commandment, if you like. And I was trying to think of how to launch into this, if that's a way to put it. And yesterday, me, Matt and Dave, was it yesterday or the day before, went to a thing about Hope 2018 in the city. And which is something we need to talk about another time. But what happened was, when Dave got into the car, he hadn't been in the car for 2 moments and only heard about 2 notes of the CD that was playing, when he said words to the effect of, "Get out of here, you still listening to Larry Norman? Anybody remember Larry Norman?" and it made me think about Larry Norman, and one of the songs on there is "You Ain't Nothing Without Love." It goes something like, "You can be a holy rocker and a righteous roller or something, but without love, you ain't nothing. You can be a rich oil man from Texas. You can be a witch with heavy hexes. You can shake hands with the devil, give God your life on the level, but without love, you ain't nothing without love." And it goes on and on. Another bit of it, he put another verse to it later on in a different version where he said, "You can't hitchhike your way to heaven. You can't get there by being good. The road was laid out long ago when the spikes went in the wood. You ain't nothing without love." And Larry Norman got in quite a lot of trouble, actually, for some of the ways he sang and the music he played. He had one song where he wrote, "Some say I'm a sinner, backslidden, that I've left to follow fame. But here I am, still talking about Jesus just the same." And it made me think that there was times like last week when we heard about Jesus was discussing and they were trying to trap him, weren't they? And Jesus said things in different ways and to engage with people so that they got behind what they were so used to hearing. And I'm not trying to say Larry Norman took a page out of Jesus's book, if you like, so he communicated in the same sort of way, and it just made me think about that. But this week, it's not so much where Jesus is trying to be trapped, or people are trying to catch him out, and he's saying things in a sort of different way. Somebody'd heard all that discussion last week that we heard about when they were trying to trap and sort out who Jesus was. And one guy was listening on the outside of that, and he heard the truth of what was going on. And we read earlier, didn't we, that he came to Jesus and he said, "What you're saying, you know, I can hear that is good. But tell me, what's the first commandment?" And Jesus answers, didn't he? "Hear, O Israel," or "Hear, Chelsea Church. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, your mind, And then there's another one that's just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. First, the first commandment, the greatest. When we think of the first and the greatest, I don't know about you, but I think of mostly about sport sort of idea. Usain Bolt was the fastest, wasn't he? He was first because he was fastest. He beat everybody. Muhammad Ali would say he was the greatest. Why? Because he beat everybody. Well, this isn't first in that sense. The first commandment, thou shalt love the Lord your God, is needed and it is important because it is the foremost. If you haven't got that in your life as like the first stone you're building, you can't fulfill the other commandments. They only come into place when you start loving God properly with all, everything you've got. When he's first, everything else can fit and lock into place. But even before that, before our first response is to God, we need the foundation laid that God first loved us. We were thinking about this last week when Rich was doing the different words for love, wasn't he? And our messy church is all about, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We need that foundation. First in our lives, before we can build anything, before we can turn around to love God, we need to know that he loves us. In of ourselves, we can't do it. We know we can't do it. We try sometimes. In fact, we often fall into the dilemma of, is it me that loves God, or is it God does everything through me? We get caught in, there used to be a saying I was thinking about the other day, let go and let God, which is a very good saying, but it's not let go and then we don't do anything, and then God doesn't do anything. God wants to do stuff with us. We let go in the sense of we understand that we have fallen short of what we should be. When we understand that we are lost, separated, without hope, dead in sins, when we let go and admit that to God and ask him to come into our lives, that's letting go in the sense of our own agendas, our own pride, our own trying to hitchhike by being good into heaven. But when God comes to us, when we realize that and he comes to us and we realize that we've always been loved, we've always been accepted. Yes, we were lost and in a mess, but God didn't give up on us. The other week I was saying something about that song about nothing comes from nothing. And I think I said it in one point of it that we were less than nothing in the sense that we were lost in sin, we were sinners. But we were never less than nothing to God. If that came across at all in what I shared the other week, I don't mean that at all. God loves you, he values you. He longs to accept you back into his family. He wants to throw a party to welcome you back. And it's when we realize that and we come to him that he comes to us and he makes his home with us. And from there, from knowing that we are loved and accepted, we can begin to respond to love God first. To love him beyond all else. Before we knew God in that way, before we come to Jesus, we just can't please him. You just, something's been broken and when there's a separation, and we just cannot please God in that way. But after we come to Jesus, we are involved in his death and his resurrection, so that we die to the old way of trying to be what we're not. And we're alive in the power of his resurrection, in the power of his life. So that now we have the opportunity, the ability, by the power of God's Spirit within us, to begin to respond, to begin to learn to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and strength. It's all of God. It's just amazing. We need to really get hold of the fact that it's not I no longer live. It's Christ who lives in me. And through him, we can do all things, which includes we can learn to love him first and foremost. I am no longer in Adam. I, we, us are now in Christ if we have come to him. Secondly, along with our learning to love God, you can't do it without loving your neighbour, because that's what God's like. He's always for the other. Even amongst the Trinity operates like that. You know, the Father loves the Son, the Spirit. They're all flowing out of this love for one another, and it overflows to us. And our love for God needs to, and should do, and will do, lead us to loving our neighbour as ourselves. That's okay, come in. We need, as a church, not our church, I mean nationwide, to hear this, really. Because there's, it's very easy at the moment in the politics of our time to be lulled into the popular view at the moment, which is very much protectionism, isolation, fear, judging others, intolerance. The view that foreigners or refugees or are things to get rid of, or the poor and the disabled are dead weights that just need to sort themselves out and get on with their lives. There's a lot of that in our country. And we need to ask God to make sure that we are loving our neighbour as ourselves, loving with the love of God. Jesus told the story about the Good Samaritan, didn't he, when they said, "Who is my neighbour?" And the Samaritan was a sort of one that they didn't expect to help the one who was in the beat up on the road. And it was the one they didn't expect who helped him. And we always identify very easily with the person, say, on the road who's been beat up and somebody's helped him. So we see that idea. But I think part of it as well is Jesus is saying, the Samaritan is your neighbour. The one you didn't expect to help. The Muslim refugee is the guy who did the love of God, if he was the one who helped. And we need to begin to learn to look with the love and the, I don't know, with God's view. Especially in this day and age, it's quite important, I think. We need to change our attitude so that we begin to see who our neighbours are and There was, I think I got it here. There's a sort of tale, if you like, a story of a rabbi who asked his disciples, "How do you know when the night is over and the new day has come?" And the first one said, "Is it when you look into the east and you can distinguish a sheep from a goat?" "No." "Is it when you look into the distance and you can tell an olive tree from a fig tree? Is that when the light has come?" "No." "When is it then?" they asked him. And he said, "When you can look into the east and see the face of a man and a woman, and you can say, 'There's my brother, there's my sister.'" And we'd go beyond that almost as well, wouldn't we, even saying that when we learn to see God in our fellow people. We need to learn to love God and to love our neighbour. How can we do that? That's a practical sort of way. Well, first of all, I think we need to see ourselves as God sees us. Learn the story from his viewpoint. We've done this in the last series we were doing, I can't remember, Transformed Lives, was it? Where we were learning that in the book, you'd read a load of passages, wouldn't it, about who we are in Christ and how God views us and how God looks upon us. And it's like a new narrative. We see ourselves as God sees us, as lifted and loved and accepted, values us. We need to learn that. We need to catch hold of it. We need to allow it to shape us. Talking about our mind, isn't it? Loving with all our mind. We need to be renewed in our mind to think, to view, to be thankful for how God sees us and how he wants to work with us and through us. Secondly, we need to spend time with him. If we're going to love him with all we are and all we got out there and all the rest of it, but we also need time with the Lord. Not necessarily praying for others, but that's part of it, and all the rest of it, of course it is. But just time. You find time to be with him, to talk to him, to share, to listen. Part of that, obviously, as well, is reading his word. And allow it to shape us and renew us in our mind, our hearts, our strength. Also, we need to spend time with one another. Obviously, we do that, but sometimes we do it superficially. We need to learn to see where each other are, accept where we are, get alongside people. Open yourself up to share your where you're at. Not with everybody necessarily, but you know, you need to learn to share the love of God one with another so that we can build each other up, so we can encourage each other, so we can just be with each other in the midst of trials. It's very easy to look at other people and not judge necessarily, but just tut sometimes. And just think, oh, if only they sort themselves out or something. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but we easily have that sort of attitude rather than seeing, you know, they're going through some tough times and yet God's with them. God's with them. Even though it might look like to us people are a bit messed up or something, you know, God is with them. I was reading the other day of the Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego in the fire. And they got thrown into the fire because they wouldn't worship the idol. And it makes a big thing about, it says that they were all tied up with their, as different versions put it in different ways, but they were all bound and thrown into the fire. And then it says that Nebuchadnezzar, was he the king? Well, he was the king, wasn't he? It says that Nebuchadnezzar, when he looked in, he saw another person in there with him. And the other thing he saw was that their ropes, their bindings were loosed. And they were free. They were still in the fire. But God was with them. And I need to learn that. That sometimes I look at people and think the wrong things, rather than God's with them in what they're going through, and I need to help them. It's part of learning to love each other and to love God. And obviously, finally, we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. God has poured him forth into our hearts to shed abroad the love of God to us. We don't drum it up. We can't do it, can we? But the gift of God is that we can know his love and his empowerment and his help and his presence in our daily lives. And we need to just square up to the fact that we can't. Peter, when he was, he denied the Lord 3 times, didn't he, Peter? And then Jesus met him on the shore. And they had breakfast. And Jesus said to him, do you love me? And Peter said, you know I do. And he said, well, feed my sheep. But he said this 2 or 3 times. And if you go back to those words that Rich introduced us to the other week about agape being the highest love and filio just being brotherly love, Jesus said, Peter, do you agape me? Peter said, you know I filio. And God said, yeah, but do you agape me? And again, he said, filio. And then, well, I think actually in the middle one, Jesus said, do you filio? And Peter said, no, I don't need filio. And then God said, well, you can begin to agape, go and feed my sheep. Jesus knew where Peter was. His response to Peter wasn't, get on with it. It was enabling Peter to see, yes, Lord, you know I'm not that great, but you love me anyway. It's not up to me. It's not what I do, but it's your work in me and through me. And Peter went on to do great things. And so can we. God loves us. He's for us. He's with us in the trials. And out of understanding his love for us, we can begin, because of his gift of his new life to us, we can begin to respond to love him and to love one another as ourselves. I think we're going to sing a song in a moment. We went and listened to Mike Cavallacci yesterday. On Friday, about some stuff, and me and Dave were joking earlier on. I don't know if he knew I was going to do this, but he said, I dare you to say it. So, here it goes. As I'm coming into land, which is what he always says at the end of his sermon, as I'm coming into land, we're going to sing a song. And let's just ask God let's tell God what our hearts are. We long to follow you, Lord. And we long for you to help us and to be with us in doing that.